This is HPR episode 2463 entitled, Setting Up a 32-Bit Ubuntu Server. It is hosted by JWP and is about 13 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, repurpose a 32-bit small form factor working station.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Good day, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is JWP, and today I want to talk to you about a server that I built. I had a old server and at work, and I needed to do something new with it. And so, what's the purpose? I had an old Windows backup workstation at work, and I did a lot of backup with it over the years, and it got to a point where it was too slow and low spec to handle Windows 7 updates. So what I would do is I would update it and I'd come back a couple of days later and, you know, restart everything. And it just got to be too much. And my company had switched to 365 SharePoint and OneDrive. And with OneDrive, I can keep all of the backups that I would have normally kept in the email there, and also over the course of the last year, I think it went up to a terabyte on the OneDrive and 3 gigabytes or so on the Exchange server. So I didn't need to back up and keep and do a search thing anymore. And so and it had become dangerous because I dreaded to do the updates, and so with such a low spec thing, I was really tempted just to put it into the recycle bin at work, but I didn't really want to throw it away because a long time ago I had sprung for a 160 gigabyte hard drive for my own money, and I know purchasing a hard drive for work, but at the time it seemed like a really good idea, and it saved me a lot of time. And back then, there were just 4 gigabyte drives in it. I think at first, of course, it was running XP until XP didn't work anymore, and then I moved it to Windows 7, and it just got really, really slow. So my first problem I was pretty sure was that it was only 32-bit, and I wasn't exactly sure about how to figure that out. But I had to do some research first before I even figured it out. So it was there was no CentOS, which I would normally use, or SUSE, both of which I use at work because they last a really long time. SUSE and CentOS both last 8 years. That means that I just do it, and I could have went with Fedora, but I wanted a really long time of support, so it came down to Ubuntu 16.04, Debian with the i386, or NetBSD with the i386 option that I could use long term, and I'm very comfortable with Ubuntu. And why Ubuntu server versus Ubuntu desktop? And again, I didn't really, with 1 gigabyte of RAM, I really didn't want to run Unity with 1 gigabyte of RAM. And Mate was just not a long enough the support cycle for me. 3 years, I don't want to set this up. And I don't ever, you know, have to try to figure out how to install anything again. I want the next time just to take it to the recycle bin and be done with it. So the so it's a small form factor computer, and so I carried it home and downloaded the 32-bit ISO, and I had a similar problem with my Transamata box. It only boots from CD, so I had but I had a built-in DVD in this little machine already, and it worked. It worked. And so to confirm that it was 32-bit like I thought, I had to use the uname minus A, and I had to look in the proc directory under the CPU to see where it was. And if it had a little I, if it didn't have an I in it or L in it, it didn't it doesn't work well. And so let's see, what is it? So you have to grep flags, use the grep command, grep flag slash proc slash CPU info, and that's just a text file. And you look for the LM, and if it has LM is found, then the output of the CPU is 64-bit. If you don't see an LM or I386 or I486 or I586 or I x86 output, then it's a 32-bit thing. So I didn't see the LM, and I didn't see any of that other stuff. And then also the if you use uname minus A, it'll have it'll show say quite clearly if it's 64-bit or not. Just a simple uname minus A. And I put the links in the show notes for that. And okay, and so then I've got it, and I was glad that I had it at home, and I had a really long weekend, and I had a ton of trouble. I don't have very good lamp skills in the moment, and so I had a lot of trouble with getting own slash Nextcloud built, both with snaps and a straight install, and I broke the install several times. I couldn't get the It always seemed to come down to I couldn't get the SQL server right, no matter what I tried, and it seemed to be a Ubuntu problem. It was specific to Ubuntu with the Postgres, and I couldn't get it right. And so finally, I just got frustrated and I gave up. And so I was like, well, what can I do? My skills and the Ubuntu in the moment, I can't get it right. And so I said, so what can I do right now? And what would be interesting and something that I know will work? And so what I did was I did a clean install again, and I put an OpenSSH server in it. I installed Tight VNC server. Got an XFCE4 image on there, and I put FFmpeg in there and YouTube minus DL and UGIT. And I plan to only in the future play with Snap. So if the Snap doesn't work, well, then I just uninstall the Snap and I try something else if I want to play with it. I used a DigitalOcean article about how to put VNC on Ubuntu, and the article, even though it was written in 2016, it's not 100%. So, but it was close enough, close enough for me to do it. And what I recommend is that you not put the VNC server on the auto load, that you just SSH in and type VNC server, and then connect that way, because I found that the memory usage was much higher if you had it auto start, if you had it if I had it auto start, and if you have to kill it, you have to kill it. And why would I need it if I use YouTube DL? Well, YouTube DL doesn't work with every site, whereas if I use UGIT, it gets every data. And then with FFmpeg, I can transcode. And since even though it's a slow old 32-bit, it's not a primary driver, and I can with FFmpeg, I can transcode all the video over time, no issue. And there's a lot of USB ports on this thing, so I just put a stick in it and it transfers everything over to the stick, and I take it home, and it's my entertainment for the weekend, or a learning block if I want. So what is this YouTube DL? Okay, and it's a YouTube DL is a command line program to download videos from YouTube.com and a few more sites. It requires a Python interpreter, 2.6, 2.7, or 3.2, and it is not platform specific, so it'll work on a Unix box, a Windows box, or a Mac OS. And it's released to the public domain, which means you can modify it, redistribute it, or use it however you like. In the future, with this machine, I really would really really like to get OwnCloud to work. And in another video, another podcast, I'll make the choice between using OwnCloud with CentOS or using OwnCloud with Ubuntu. But I've had a lot of trouble with my OwnCloud and Ubuntu, and it could just be me that I'm not very good at Postgres or whatever. And I'm going to try my best to get it to work with CentOS and see if it'll work, because that's what it said is at the on the web page, that it was primarily that they recommended Red Hat server for it, and for commercial applications, and that the Red Hat was their primary partner in commercial ventures. Now they have a lot of Raspberry Pi stuff too, so I may give that a try. So other possible projects is this STORJ, storage thing, and so what it is this: you get you sort of rent your storage on your disk drive to this cloud company, and they have like Blockstream storage, and they'll give you like some of their surges, their currency, and for letting you use part of your hard drive. And I listened to some other guys talking about it on the web, and some of them off their 32-bit SD card were getting like $10 every 3 months off of that. And so I have I don't know, 100 gigabytes free on that little drive. And so if I can get it through the firewall and it's free power, I might give that a try just to mess around with that and see. I also have to check with the HR and make sure that it's okay with them. Probably it'd be okay to learn anything I want to with it, as long as I don't make any money. So I may have to just set it up and not collect any money from it, just to see how it works. Well, that's really it. So I did that project, and I had a lot of trials and tribulations again with that OwnCloud or Nextcloud server, and in particular with Ubuntu, and I had a lot of enjoyment with that YouTube DL and FFmpeg thing, and I think that that's gonna be really really good. Well, y'all have a great day, and if you have any questions, you can reach me at jwp5@hotmail.com. Leave a comment, contribute a show. Thank you very much. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.